The following is a home program on Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 5, text number 16, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on July 7th, 2009, in Auckland, New Zealand.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 5, text number 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Gyanena tu tada gyanam. Yesham nashitam atmana. Tesham aditya vajjnanam prakasha yati tatparam gyanena tu tada gyanam yesham nashitam atmana Tesham aditya vajjnanam prakasha yati tatparam.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything, as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Purport. Those who have forgotten Krishna must certainly be bewildered. But those who are in Krishna consciousness are not bewildered at all. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvam Jnana Plavena, Jnanagni Sarvakarmani, and nahi gyanena sadrisham. Knowledge is always highly esteemed. And what is that knowledge? Perfect knowledge is achieved when one surrenders unto Krishna, as is said in the 7th chapter, 19th verse, Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavangmang prapadyate. After passing through many, many births, when one, perfect in knowledge, surrenders unto Krishna, or when one attains Krishna consciousness, then everything is revealed to him as everything is revealed with the sun in the daytime. The living entity is bewildered in so many ways. For instance, when he unceremoniously thinks himself God, he actually falls into the last snare of nescience. If a living entity is God, then how can he become bewildered by nescience? Does God become bewildered by nescience? If so, then nescience, or Satan, is greater than God. Real knowledge can be obtained from a person who is perfect in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, one has to seek out such a bona fide spiritual master, and under him learn what Krishna consciousness is. For Krishna consciousness will certainly drive away all nescience, as the sun drives away all darkness. Even though a person may be in full knowledge that he is not this body, but is transcendental to the body, he still may not be able to discriminate between the soul and the supersoul. However, he can know everything perfectly well if he takes care to take shelter of the perfect, bona fide, Krishna-conscious spiritual master. One can know God and one's relationship with God only when he meets a representative of God. a representative of God never claims to be that he is God, although he is paid all the respect ordinarily paid to God, because he has the knowledge of God. One has to learn the distinction between God and the living entity. Lord Sri Krishna therefore stated in the second chapter, 2.12, that every living being is individual and the Lord also is individual. They were all individuals in the past, they are individuals at present, and they will continue to be individuals in the future, even after liberation. At night, we see everything as one in the darkness. But in day, when the sun is up, we see everything in its real identity. Identity with individuality in spiritual life is real knowledge. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakonvitamscha So, the present moment, it is very, very dark. It is the dense, dark age of Kali. And it has very heavily affected our consciousnesses. It's very heavy. But the good news is that light is always more powerful than darkness. Do we say that dogmatically?
No.
It is scientific. You yourself can make the experiment. You young children, you can make this experiment. It is a scientific experiment, you see. Go into one dark room and simply turn on one flashlight, you see. And then the dark, so much darkness will be displaced by this one little flashlight, you see. And then you can take a container like this that has darkness on the inside, go into the bright sunlight and go like this, and see how much lightness is displaced by that darkness. You see? A little bit of lightness can displace a huge amount of darkness. And there's no amount of darkness that can displace any light. You understand? This is scientific. Anyone can perform this scientific experiment and see that the light is more powerful than darkness. So, no matter how dark this Kali Yuga may be, Krishna is unlimitedly light. Simply, we have to bring the light of Krishna. That's all. No matter how much we may be drowning in darkness, if we can simply bring this light of Krishna, then everything will become brilliant. Just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Instead of being miserable, we will become ecstatic. Krishna says, Susukam, it is joyful process. Everybody wants to enjoy life to the fullest. But the difficulty is we're approaching our enjoyment in the wrong way. We are basing it on the body, we are basing it on the false ego, which is not the real self. If I say, okay, now, here I'm going to give you a nice big feast plate of Krishna Prasadam. We will feed it to your reflection in the mirror. Not you. We'll just give it to your reflection. Will you be happy? You know, we take the... Here's your reflection. Then we put the glove jam and, you know, put all of it in the mirror, you see. You're sitting there going hungry. And what's going on? This is crazy. I'm going hungry and they're giving all of Bishadam to the mirror, you see. We're laughing at this, but we're doing it every day, you see. You understand? We're taking the false image of the self, this material body, and we're giving all of our service to it and neglecting the self. That example is given of that lady. She bought a big bird cage, you see. Beautiful bird cage. It was beautiful, like $5,000 bird cage, you know. She polished it so nicely, but you know, she couldn't. So people wouldn't laugh. On the way home from buying her bird cage, she stopped by the pet store to buy a bird to put in it. You know, an excuse for having the bird cage. So she was polishing the cage very nicely, but she neglected that bird. See, the first day the bird was okay. He had just come from the pet store. You know, he had a nice breakfast at the pet store. So he was chirping along. You see. The second day, though, he's getting a little hungry, you know. But the third day, it was the bottom of the cage, you see. Finished. She didn't feed the bird, can you imagine? She only polished the cage. That's pretty stupid, isn't it? You get a bird in a bird cage and you only polish the cage, you don't feed the bird. Again, we're laughing, but that's us. That is us. That's how stupid we are, you see. We're taking all care of these bodily senses. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Working very hard, getting up in the early morning, getting out in the traffic jam, going to work, you know, working, making sure I can keep my job, please the supervisor. So much struggle just to polish the cage. When it comes to, you know, practicing Krishna consciousness, well, maybe a little bit here and there, you know. This is the priority. To serve the, to actually take care of the need of the soul, the Atma within. This is the number one thing. You know what Prabhupada said? Prabhupada advised chanting 16 rounds of japa before sunrise. You see, that would be ideal if all of our householders would get up in the early morning, you see, and chant, have very nice puja, have a whole wonderful morning program. Get up very early, have a wonderful morning program before heading out for the office, you see. Because then you've fed the soul very, very nicely. And then, after having done that, you're illuminated with Krishna bhakti. You're illuminated with self-realization, you see. The whole day you can see everything in relationship with Krishna. Yamang pashyati sarvatra sarvang chamai pashyati tashahang na panashyami satchamena pranashyati. Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text number 30. For one who sees me in everything and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So if you can have very good sadhana every morning, you see, then you'll be fixed in Krishna bhakti. When you head out the door, you'll see, oh, the energy of Krishna. You'll see Auckland is, you'll see that every, that Auckland is within Krishna and Krishna is within Auckland. You understand? You get to your office, you know, ABC Corporation or whatever. You see, ABC Corporation is within Krishna, and Krishna was within ABC Corporation. Or even you go to your school, you see. The same thing when you go to your school. You understand? You students over here, do you understand? You understand this point? If you get up and chant very nicely in the morning, when you go to school, you'll see this is within Krishna, and Krishna is within this school, you see. So this is a very important thing. Actually, you know, we have to train the children to hear these lessons of Krishna consciousness. Because otherwise, if they don't learn to hear these lessons of Krishna consciousness, the first lessons they will learn to hear are the ones from the karmis in the public schools. The first lessons they learn how to sit attentively and hear are from non-devotees. How do you think that will affect their consciousness? So therefore, these children from the very moment of coming out should be trained how to sit nicely and hear these classes, you see. Before they get to public school, they should learn how to sit and hear a lecture on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and appreciate it and enjoy it and relish the knowledge, you see. Because then, when they get to this public school, they'll be able to see, they'll have jnana chakshus. They'll be able to see in relationship with scripture. They'll understand what is right and what's wrong about the material society. Otherwise, if they don't have that jnana chakshus, when they get out there, they'll just be completely carried away. Well, this is great. Everybody's doing this. Everybody's going to McDonald's. Everybody, you know, like the. It's a very important thing. That from the very moment they come out of the womb, you know, they're brought to hear the class. Even within the womb, you see. Prahlad Maharaj heard within the womb. When he came out of the womb, he had heard so nicely within the womb. He was a self-realized soul when he came out of the womb. And who, you know who else did that? Do you know who else did that? Shukadev Goswami. You know Shukadev Goswami? What did he do? He spoke the Bhagavatam to Pariksit Maharaj. He was an impersonalist when he took birth in the womb of his mother, you see. But his father was, who was his father? Srila Vyasadeva. Srila Vyasadeva spoke the Bhagavatam. Actually, it's an interesting story. He didn't want to come out of his mother's womb because he was an impersonalist. Because he was afraid he would fall into Maya. Because he figured he was a little safer than the womb. See? Notice, you can't see anything in there, you know. So you know how long he stayed in the womb? You know how long he stayed in his mother's womb? 16 years. Can you imagine what that mother was going through with a 16-year-old boy in her womb? Oh my God. What an austerity. He wouldn't come out of the womb. But when he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by his father, you see, Srila Vyasadeva, he really, he became a personalist. He became a Vaishnava, you see. He knew, I don't have to be afraid of the material world now. Yeah, I know that Krishna is within everything and everything is within Krishna. So he came out of the womb. But just to play it safe, he said, they may want me to get married and all that kind of stuff, you know. So he just headed out running. As soon as he came out of the womb, he headed out running. He didn't even wait around to get a set of clothes. I'm taking, or a dhoti or anything. No, just, he just headed right on out the door and that was it. Can you imagine? You see? He was so realized as a 16-year-old boy, just hearing in the womb, he was so realized that he went to that assembly where Pariksit was sitting on the bank of the sacred river preparing for death. All the sages had come, even, do you realize a sage even came from Europe? Do you know there were sages in Europe at that time, 5,000 Vedic sages in Europe? Can you imagine? The Vedic culture was spread all over this planet. A sage even came from Europe when Pariksit was getting ready to leave his body, you see. So everybody was trying to figure out what to do, you know. This sage has his opinion, this, just like in our ISKCON, everybody has their opinion of what we should do, you know. Sometimes we can't decide what to do, you know. Should we do it this way? Should we do it that way? Should we do it this way? You know what I mean? It happens in ISKCON sometimes. But even though there was all these differences of opinion, when Shukadev showed up on the scene, everybody knew whatever he says goes. You see. He was so advanced just from hearing within the womb the Srimad Bhagavatam from his father. You see. That when he came to that assembly of sages from all over the universe, from other planets even, just when all he had to do was walk into that assembly and everybody could see the aura, they could see the effulgence, they could see the realization of this young boy, and they knew all controversy is finished. Whatever he says goes. And he just spoke the Bhagavatam to Parikshit for 7 days. And that was it. Parikshit became perfect by hearing the Bhagavatam. You see? So these children, they will also become perfect. Simply they learn out and hear like Parikshit heard. They will also become perfect just by learning out and hear this knowledge, you see. Their hearts become illuminated, you see. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksardaiva hridayeshu viloka yanti yang shama shunyarama chintya gunasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. When one's eyes become anointed with that premanjana, the salve of love of God, then one can see Krishna within one's heart at every minute. That beautiful Shyam Sundar, threefold bending form. You know what color dhoti he wears? A yellow dhoti. Yeah. What kind of feathers does he have in his hair? Peacock feather. Isn't it? What kind of instrument does he play? Flute. So you can actually, when your heart becomes purified by, actually, it is stated, when your eyes become purified, that means your heart has become purified, you see. Whatever condition your heart has, that becomes manifested in your eyes, you see. If one's heart is not pure, when he looks at the material world, he looks with lust. How can I enjoy it? You see. But if his heart is pure, when he sees, he says, oh, the energy of Krishna. You see. You'll see everything is the energy of Krishna. How can I engage this in Krishna's service? Instead of seeing a beautiful woman and feeling lusty, he will think, oh, how can this person be made into a devotee of Krishna? You see. In this way. So, how do we get our eyes anointed with that love of God, that salve of love of God, premanjana? Is there some chemist shop, some drugstore we can go to, some pharmacy we can go to, where we can purchase a tube of premanjana? Actually, there is. It is called ISKCON Pharmacy. Prabhupada was a pharmacist before he started ISKCON. So ISKCON is simply a better pharmacy than what was it called? What was the name of his pharmacy? Prayag. What was the name of his pharmacy in Allahabad? Prayag Pharma. I forget. He had a name for every business has a name. I think it was Prayag Pharmacy. Prabhupada simply started a better pharmacy. You see. This pharmacy has one medicine and one medicine only. Well, actually it has two. You could say the holy name also. It's the same thing. Premanjana, this ointment of love of God, is the medicine dispensed by this pharmacy, the ISKCON pharmacy. So how do you apply this ointment to your eyes? Do you know how this ointment is applied to the eyes? This is different from the normal eye ointment you buy in the drugstore. It's through the ears. Can you imagine? This ointment is applied through the ears. How? By hearing, you see. By hearing from the preachers of Krishna consciousness. Taking the Shabda Brahma, the transcendental sound vibration, in through your ears, in deep into your heart. See, there's two ways you can hear. One way you can hear is this. In one ear and out the other ear. You see? That means your mind isn't focused. So it happens sometimes. We can see and we're giving lectures. Just like I'm seeing here in this room tonight, I can see if you're listening or you're not listening. The face is the index of the mind. I can look out in the audience. I can see who's tuned in and whose mind is looping the loop around the Milky Way, you see. So it's my job, you know, to try to speak in such a way that everybody comes back from the Milky Way and comes down for a landing here in this house, to tune in to this Shabda Brahma, you see. Because if you tune into this Shabda Brahma and you take it deeply into your heart, you don't let it go in one ear and out the other, you take it deeply into your heart, then you get a solid dose of Premanjana, you understand? And by taking a solid dose of Premanjana, you have a transformation of your vision. And when your vision is transformed, then instead of seeing Auckland, you'll see the energy of Krishna all around you. That means you've been elevated into the spiritual existence by this ointment of love of God, you see. Because actually everything is the energy of Krishna. But we've conditioned into forgetfulness by the asat sangha of this material existence. That association has closed our eyes to the reality that everything is Krishna's energy. So all we have to do is hear from the preachers of Krishna consciousness, those who are purely presenting this message. And by that hearing process, we will revive our original identity. You know that you're not really this body. You have another identity that existed before you even got this body. Do you know that? Jivara Svarupahoy Krishnera Nityadas. The constitutional position of the living entity is what? He's the eternal servant of Krishna. You see? The living entity is the eternal servant of Krishna. That's his actual identity. So, by hearing from the preachers of Krishna consciousness, we start to remember who we actually are. And then we become fully realized in who we are, and then the whole world becomes illuminated for us. Actually, we had a practical example in Texas, where I have my home base. In Dallas, of course, I'm in Austin, but up in Dallas, one man, he was walking around the neighborhood, just a regular, you know, suburban neighborhood like this neighborhood here. He went for a walk. You know, people like to go out and get a little exercise sometime. He just went out for a walk in the neighborhood, and he had some funny thing happen to the chemicals in his brain, and he went to amnesia. He forgot who he was, and it just so happened he wasn't carrying his wallet with him, see. He had nothing in his pocket to tell him who he was. He couldn't figure out who he was or where he lived. He totally forgot who he was and where he lived. He wandered the streets of Dallas as a bum for weeks and weeks and weeks, just living on the streets as a beggar, you see. Because he didn't know who he was, he didn't know where he lived, nothing. But then one day a friend of his drove by in the car and he said, John, where have you been? We've been looking for you. The police have been looking. Where have you been? Hop in the car and I'll drive you home. So they took him home. They got a psychiatrist. He went through all kinds of treatments, you know, and they brought him back to his remembrance of who he actually was. So we're like that man. I don't know if it was John, that's an example. But we're like that man who was wandering the streets of Dallas. Here we are wandering where? Brahmanda, Ramite Konya. We're wandering in the Brahmanda, in the neighborhood of this material existence, through 8,400,000 different species of life, wondering, what am I? Am I a worm? Am I an alligator? Am I a kiwi? Am I a kangaroo? What am I? Am I a human being? Am I a demigod? We keep trying all these different things, trying to figure out who I am. Jadaja Navalakshani Stavada Laksha Vingshati Krimaya Rudha Sankhyaka Pakshinam Vashalakshanam Trincha Lakshani Pashavaha Chatur Lakshani Manasha. There's even 400,000 different types of human species. We don't see them all on this planet, but throughout the universe, there are 400,000 different types of human beings. So we've been trying all these different trying on all these different hats to figure out who we are, you know. Am I this? Am I that? Can I enjoy this way? And we never get satisfied. Dushparena nalena cha. This material fire, this material existence burns like fire and it's never satisfied. So we've been trying this, trying that, going here, going there. And whatever we do, it's like the Rolling Stones said that song, I can't get no satisfaction. We can't get any satisfaction no matter what we try to do. That's it. We can never get satisfied. Until we come back to our actual identity. Just like a little child in a gathering somewhere, a little child and all the ladies try to pacify the crying child. They pass him from one lady to another, and another lady, another lady, and no matter where he's passed, he's never be satisfied. But until he goes back to his mother, then he's completely satisfied. When he goes back to his mother's lap, you see. So, we will never be satisfied until we come back to Krishna. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how much fame, how much power, how much prestige. I don't care what you have in this material world. You will never be satisfied until you come back to Krishna. Because that's who you actually are, the eternal servant of Krishna. That's why Prabhupada started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because he knew that's the only thing that can make people happy. So we have the wonderful opportunity to cultivate our Krishna consciousness by hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's why we have these kirtans. That's why we get together and we hear and we discuss about Krishna. That's why we offer food to Krishna and take the remnants of those foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Because all of these activities bring us back to the remembrance. This is Prabhupada, the supreme psychiatrist, you see. He's bringing us back to understand and remember who we actually are. I'm actually the eternal servant of Krishna. I forgot. But now I know who I really am. You see. Brahma-bhuta prasanatmana sochatina kankshati. So when one realizes I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, he becomes fully joyful. He no longer hankers, he no longer laments. He becomes equally disposed towards all living entities, seeing they're also the servants of Krishna. They just forgot. You see, in this state, one awakens Krishna bhakti by remembering who I actually am. You see? So in this way, Krishna consciousness is a simply wonderful process. If we take it very seriously, with determination, then we will be successful. When you enroll in the university, do you take it seriously with determination? Of course you do. Because you want to get your degree so you can make a decent living. So we can simply apply that same degree of determination to awaken, becoming Krishna conscious as we apply to get a university degree. You see, we will become pure devotees. But the trouble is the tendency is to think, well, you know, making money is the most important thing. We don't give Krishna consciousness that much seriousness. That's the problem. But if we do give it that much seriousness, or even more seriousness than that, then we'll become successful. Those who are not successful in becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness, they just don't take it seriously enough, as they would getting a college education, you see. Just think how hard you work to get a college education. All the austerities and penances you go through to get a college degree. Going to all those classes and rains, you know, in the heat and the cold, doesn't matter. You go to class no matter what. Whether you're sick, even if you're sick, you go to class. You go to all those lectures, you do all the studying, you do the homework assignments, you go to the exams, you write the papers. So many things, year after year after year, especially if you go to PhD level. How many years did you spend doing them? Many, many years. What about going to medical school? The austerities of becoming an MD, just imagine. So we can apply that much energy for some material purpose, which is only temporary. How much more we should endeavor to awaken our Krishna consciousness. So, that's the best advice. Now take it or leave it. No one's going to bend your arm. It's up to you what you want to do with this advice. You want to take it, you get the result. If you don't want to take it, well, at least you know what your real duty is. Whether you're prepared to do it or not yet, it's another thing. At least you know what your duty is now in life. So, any questions? Yes.
Just talking about the person works really hard for going to university year after year, but then he sees a tangible that he has to do a job, do well, earn money. And here, with the Krishna consciousness, how can the person doesn't see a tangible thing?
Yeah.
So how?
This is an excellent question. So how can he get the inspiration when he doesn't see, and it's so subtle? It's so intangible in one sense. This is an excellent question you've asked. Thank you very much for this question. This is why we need advanced devotees around. You see. I can tell you this. When Prabhupada was on this planet and we could see Prabhupada, it was very, very tangible. You understand? And we saw Prabhupada, we looked at Prabhupada, talk about tangible. And we could see Srila Prabhupada. We knew how tangible this was. So that's what we need. We need to have, in our movement, we need to have very, very advanced devotees who are, you know, really moving up the ladder of spiritual progress, you see. That's the solution. We need advanced devotees around. So that's why I'm trying to do everything I can. I mean, I have a big responsibility. I have disciples. I just initiated 3 disciples on Saturday. So I understand the responsibility I have to be an advanced devotee, even though I consider myself just a bumbling neophyte. You see? I'm just praying for Prabhupada's mercy that I can be his pure representative, you see, so that people will be inspired. Just by hearing me speak or seeing me, not for my ego, but, you know, for their benefit. I'm just praying that I can purely represent Prabhupada, completely pure, 100% purely represent Srila Prabhupada, because I know what the advantage that I got when I could actually see Prabhupada, and I know that, you know, you all aren't able to, of course the videos are there, but, you know, to actually see somebody in person is different. So I'm just praying that myself and the other devotees who are also, you know, preaching, that we all can be pure representatives of Srila Prabhupada, because that will solve the problem that you're. It's a very real problem that you've brought out. It's so intangible. But what makes it tangible is when you can actually see and associate with a person who is tasting pure bhakti. Experiencing pure bhakti at every minute, you see. That makes it tangible. And then you want to work for it, you see. Actually, my first experience was not directly with the Prophet, but with the disciple of the Prophet, His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami. That would convince me. To me, that he, just seeing Vishnu Janaswami, that was tangibility enough to convince me. He was a very, very amazing preacher. He came to our town with no money, no vehicle, no assistance, no musical instruments. He had his danda, he had a blanket, a razor blade, a case of BTGs, a toothbrush, and the first little the abridged Bhagavad Gita and then the first canto of the Bhagavatam, the three books, the three brown volumes that came off the ship. That's all he had. And within a few weeks, just by preaching, he had a house full of devotees. Can you imagine? Can you imagine having a house? Walking into Auckland with no money and in 5 weeks having a house? That's amazing. I saw that with my own eyes. He came into town with nothing, and in a few weeks he had a house full of followers, dedicated followers, out of nothing. That was tangible. See, I didn't even see Prabhupada. I just saw Vishnu Chandaswami. And I figured if Prabhupada can, if his potency can turn this person, make this person like this, I want to do this too. What can it do to me? Is it? You know how in the temple, well, somebody offers the arti, somebody leads the kirtan. Well, he didn't have anybody to offer the arti, lead the kirtan, except for him, because we were all raw recruits off the street, practically. So he would offer the arti and lead the kirtan at the same time. But he did it with so much bhakti, with so much feeling. He would sing those Govastakam prayers in the early morning, the Brahma Muhurta. It was just absolutely amazing to hear the way he would sing. And then Prabhupada wrote a letter to him. We got it there in our temple. A letter came to him. Prabhupada told him, he says, when I heard you leading the kirtan in Los Angeles, I could feel how I was being carried to Vaikuntha. And I said, yes. I also felt that. You see? By hearing his singing, I felt how I was being carried in the spiritual existence. So if we can have the association of Prabhupada or people like I got the association of Vishnu Janaswami. So just by their singing, just by their preaching, you feel that you're being carried into another atmosphere, into a spiritual atmosphere, just by their presence. That is very tangible, that experience, you see. And you can say, well, I want to be able to do this 24/7. You see, let me learn how to do that myself. So there's where the tangibility comes in. When I had met many devotees before that, but it didn't click. It wasn't tangible for me. I thought, well, these people are a little weird. I really thought they were weird. I thought they were fanatics. I'm honest. I first met the devotees in December of 1968. I thought they were fanatics. I knew the mantra was good because I had already chanted and I knew the mantra. I'd already practiced a little Krishna bhakti on my own. I knew it was really powerful and wonderful thing. But these devotees, I wasn't impressed. But when I met Vishnu Janaswami, I was completely amazed. You see. Because there was something tangible in his presence. You felt something in his presence, very, very tangible. He could just say one thing, and I mean, it was so powerful. His association was so powerful. I still remember this day, and we're talking, 38 years ago, I still remember things he told me. They still are vibrating in my heart. 38 years ago, he spoke a word to me, and it's still that word is still vibrating in my heart. The program was going on, and I was a little thirsty, so I went. It was in a house, a home program. There was no temple. We had a program in a different house every night, a little floating Nam Hut thing. Every house, every night, a different home. So I went into the kitchen to get a drink of water, and he was there too. Now, in those days, the countercultural days, everybody thought get high and stay high forever, you know. That was the thing. But he came into the kitchen, he looked at me very seriously, and he said, "You have to become sober." I went, "Wow." This is amazing. Because we thought sober was pretty uncool thing, you know, in those days. You got to be always intoxicated. That's where it's at. You see, that was the idea. Yeah. So He was so powerful, personality. Just his telling me, you have to become sober. He said it in a very sober, compassionate way that was just full of bliss and nectar, the way he said it to me. Yeah, I never forgot it, you see. It was so tangible. Sobriety now became something that I thought was bad, now it became something wonderful and desirable. And that was amazing to me. He just completely reversed my way of thinking, you understand? So these are some examples to answer your question, to show that tangibility comes by associating with advanced Vaishnavas. That's where the tangibility comes from. The books, they seem, it seems nice philosophy. Where's the tangibility? But when you see a person who's a living embodiment of these books, then it becomes completely tangible. You say, this is real. You see, this is real. Yes?
I just wanted to say to his question, to see the tangibility ability as a child who starts to go to the school as he grows up, he does not know, he see any tangibility in the results. But he is putting his effort right from the beginning, and as he grows, he gets the tangibility. So in Krishna consciousness also, isn't it that Krishna says, yeah, tamam prapadyante. So as much as one puts self there, then they can get the tangible result.
Hmm.
So, and meeting and hearing, even though they may be hearing and taking it, if there is no practice put into it, there is no tangibility. So like you many times say, taste of pudding is in eating.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, if one will actually have a little faith, the child, of course, he doesn't know anything. He just does what his parents tell him. The parents say, okay, you have to go to school. He may complain, but in the end, he will surrender and go to school. Now, adult has a little more free will, you know, to do it. He's not so much, but if the adult will put his faith in the instructions given, you chant Hare Krishna, you eat Krishna Prasadam, that's the instructions from Rupa Goswami. Jiva Do, that begins with the tongue, chanting Hare Krishna and tasting Prasad. If we put our faith in the words of Srila Rupa Goswami and actually make our best endeavor to regularly chant Hare Krishna and taste Krishna Prasadam, then in due course that tangibility will come. That's a fact. Vishayava nivartante nirahara shidehina. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing what? A higher taste. Higher taste means tangibility. He becomes fixed in consciousness, you see. So we simply have to follow the expert guidance of the bona fide spiritual master and expert Vaishnavas. We simply have to follow their guidance, and then we will get that tangibility, that higher taste, that tangibility will come. We will have a transcendental experience, you see. There is jnana and there is vijnana. Vijnana means you actually realize Krishna. You have a transcendental awakening within your heart. You experience transcendental existence. Srila Prabhupada explains that by chanting Hare Krishna, your consciousness is elevated to the spiritual plane, the spiritual stratum, Prabhupada said. Remember that? Spiritual stratum. That means level. There's different stratums. Spiritual stratum. It's a higher level of consciousness. You will tangibly experience a higher level of consciousness. Therefore, I advise my disciples, when they should chant, and they chant Hare Krishna, they should try to go deeply, deeply, deeply into the mantra, you see. The deeper you go into the mantra, the higher your consciousness becomes elevated beyond the modes of nature. It's like a ray of light, you see. You can take a ray of light, though, and you can focus it. You can play with those later, all right? Because this is time for focusing your mind on hearing. You can play with those later. That's very nice to play. A child likes to play. But kindly I'm giving lecture, don't play at this time. If you can kindly hear very nicely, I guarantee you'll be glad you did. You get a tremendous reward by hearing nicely. So if you take the light and you focus it, you know what a highly focused light is called? Have they taught you in school yet? It is called laser. A very highly focused ray of light is called a laser. Now this is not a laser. You see, it makes some light on the table. But if I had a laser here, if I had a highly focused laser beam, it could burn right through this table. You see, it can make a hole in the table. It can even burn through metal. Did you know that? A laser beam can burn right through metal. So when if we chant Hare Krishna, this is how you get tangibility. If you will focus yourself very, very intensely on the sound vibration of Krishna's name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, with sufficient quantity and sufficient quality, you can actually burn an escape route through the coverings of this material universe. You can burn a hole through the coverings of the universe. Do you know that? You can burn a hole through the coverings of the universe. If you laser focus your chanting. So that's tangibility. You see? So if you're not experiencing tangibility, you simply have to intensify your practice. And then you will get tangibility. But what about the beginner who just walked in and he never knew anything about it, he just happened to come, you're invited to this program tonight. Well, what is tangible this? Well, Krishna Prasadam. That's pretty tangible. Gulab Jamun. Rasa Gulab. No. That's tangible. Okay, anything else? Yeah.
That he heard Srimad Bhagavatam in the womb of the mother.
Mm.
It's a very scaring for the parents.
Oh, yeah, the parents were all scared. Don't you dare make my kid into Sukadeva. I don't want him running away to become a brahmachari in the temple. We don't actually train our students that way. We don't train our students that you have to become a sannyasi. In general, sannyasis are very rare in this age. Generally, most boys, they'll be better suited to be married. You see. Actually, they have a very good system. One of our temples in India, they have a system. They don't accept anybody into the Brahmacharya Ashram unless they have a college degree and they got a professional job after they graduated from college. So they really are renouncing something. In other words, most Brahmacharya, the greater percentage of Brahmacharyas end up getting married anyway in due course. So the best thing is that everyone should get a college degree and actually, you know, get work experience also. And then if they want to try Brahmacharya life, all right. But steer everybody to college, giving a good solid education, getting a good, being prop, you know, well situated in the work world. Because most of them end up getting married anyway, and then they have a good way to earn a living for their family. You see, so the parents shouldn't be scared. You know, we're going to train your children to, you know, not go to college or something like that. No. We want your kids to go to college. In fact, there's a nice example. One of our children in the U.S., instead of sending him to public school, the mother, it's probably legal here too, but in the U.S. you can homeschool your kids. Homeschooling. You can even buy kits for all the textbooks and everything for homeschooling. So she homeschooled the kids, two boys. And her boy Ravi Gupta, if you've been subscribed to BTG, he used to have a column in Bhaktivedanta magazine, little Ravi Gupta. He was so expert writer that the local newspaper, he had a column in the local Karmi newspaper in Boise, Idaho. He was writing a column for the local Karmi newspaper also. He was a celebrity in Boise, Idaho, a little kid. And at the age 13, he went to the university. He didn't go to, never went to any public school until he went to the university. At age 13, he went to the university and he excelled in his studies at age 13 with all these older children, you see. And now he's a professor of Sanskrit, a PhD in Sanskrit, teaching Sanskrit at some university in Florida. And he goes to teach many courses on Sanskrit at Bhaktivedanta College in Madhadesh. So yeah, he's become, excelled. And his little brother did the same thing. So, you know, we actually, it's not that we train you in Krishna consciousness now that you become incompetent, you know, in your job or something like that. Actually, there is one quality of a Vaishnava. He is expert, daksha. It's one of the 26 qualities of Vaishnava. So if you're actually fixed in Krishna consciousness, whatever you do, you'll be expert. You see, if you're a warrior like Arjuna, you'll be the most powerful warrior, you see. If you're a cook, you'll be the best cook. If you're a wife, you'll be the best wife. If you're a husband, you'll be the best husband. If you're a son or a daughter, you'll be the best son or daughter. If you're mother or father, you'll be the best mother and father. If you're a prime minister, you'll be the best prime minister. You see, if you're an artist, you'll be the best artist. If you're a public speaker, you'll be the best public speaker. If you're a musician, you'll be the best musician. Whatever you do seriously in Krishna's service, you'll become highly expert in doing that thing because you're doing it out of love for Krishna. And therefore, you become the most expert in that thing. So a businessman, Prabhupada said, a Krishna conscious businessman, he can aspire to become the wealthiest businessman in the world. So whatever you're doing for Krishna, because you're connecting it with the source of all existence, the source of all energy, the source of all knowledge, whatever you do seriously to please Krishna, you'll naturally become expert in that thing. So don't be afraid that your children, if they become too serious about Krishna consciousness, they'll flunk out of school, you know, they'll become beggars on the street. No. We want all of our members to be highly successful in the material world, actually. So, we encourage everyone to excel, that all the students should make straight A's, you know. We encourage everyone to excel in Krishna consciousness. Whatever you're doing, you should be the best. If you're working in some company, you should be the best employee, so they may put you in charge of the company. We want devotees to be the leaders in every field, education, business, the military. Just like yesterday, I spoke with a military man in Wellington. I said, you really work out. He had these huge muscles, you know. He said, yeah, I'm in the military. So I encouraged him to become very Krishna conscious and how the military, what is the role of a military man in Krishna consciousness, you see. I didn't tell him, oh, you got to quit the military. No. Whatever you're doing, you do that for Krishna. Do it with love for Krishna, and then you become perfect in that. So anyway, our time is running a little short. Because I'm getting up for Mangalarti tomorrow night, you know. So we have to take rest at a decent hour, and it's a long drive back to our ashram. But we're so delighted. My wife Vishnupriya Madanaji and I are very delighted to be here with all of you tonight to see how enthusiastically you're chanting Hare Krishna and hearing about Krishna. These children also, especially these here, I'm very impressed how nicely they're hearing. These children, you see, their brains are very fertile at the young age. They can absorb and learn a lot of stuff faster than we adults can. That's why the children should be engaged in hearing the classes, because they will absorb 10 times as much as we will if you just get them to pay attention to the class. Like this boy here, I'm trying to get his attention. I can see he's an intelligent young boy, you see. If he pays attention to this class, I know he'll learn more than any of us will, you see. These children learn more than we do. They're that age, the age for learning. So we actually engage them. This one who's wandering around, hopefully he'll sit down and listen. So in this way, you see, get all, this is, you're a wonderful group of people, a wonderful group of devotees. I'm very happy to have gotten the blessing of your association tonight. So I will go ahead and stop here. Raja Vidra, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.